Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Well, Metro needs some fixing, and they've come up with a plan, and it's going to cost a lot of money. Joining us down the line to talk more about it is Robert McCartney, the Washington Post senior regional correspondent who covers politics and policy in the greater Washington area. Good morning to you, Mr. McCartney.
Hi, Brian.
It's good to have you. Listen, talk about this new business model that has been proposed by Paul Wiedefield, the manager of Metro.
Yeah, it's basically got two parts. On the one hand, as you said, he wants an extra $500 million a year to basically make up for the underinvestment of the past decades. This would go to buy new rail cars, new buses, new equipment, maintenance, and he wants it as a dedicated funds, which means basically, you know, higher taxes of some sort. The price tag is very steep. On the other hand, he wants to, you know, really hold down costs at Metro, and especially by getting some big concessions from Metro's labor unions. He wants to no longer have defined benefit pensions for all new hires. They'd have a 401k, which would be much less costly. He also wants to change federal law to federal law that governs arbitration procedures. This gets really technical, but basically it would strengthen management's hand a lot in resolving contract disputes and sort of keep wage and benefits contracts from going up so quickly. And perhaps most importantly, he wants to start privatizing some operations. For instance, he would use outside contractors instead of union workers for some jobs in the second phase of the Silver Line, which is going to open in 2020.
And that may be designed to try to get labor unions to come to the table and maybe give some concessions to avoid that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's partly a bargaining chip angle to that.
All right, but they're not. It's just not $500 million. This is the thing that I think a lot of people are missing. It's $500 million more per year than we're currently paying.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, I should have made that clear.
No, you did, but I just want to stress that, right.
In addition to what the jurisdictions, you know, Metro, like all transit systems, you know, anywhere, is heavily subsidized by taxes, and it gets a substantial subsidy already from the three jurisdictions and some money from the federal government, the three jurisdictions being Maryland, Virginia, and the district, of course. And so he wants to continue to, you know, get the money it's getting now, plus add like a penny sales tax in the region, or property taxes, or something to generate an extra $500 million a year for capital investments. And he says, you know, he says that's needed just to make up for, you know, what I termed already the underinvestment, the lack of investment that's been going on for decades, which has allowed the equipment to get old and the track to deteriorate and the whole system to basically slide downhill.
Now, what percentage of the operating budget would that dedicated revenue be?
Well, it's not for the dedicated revenue is not for the operating side. It's for the capital side.
Capital
it's for
side.
Investments, long-term investments. Well, the total investments would be about $1.5 billion. So the new money would be roughly a third of that, except that a bunch of that is borrowed. So the math gets kind of complicated.
Sure.
But basically, he wants to spend a little more than $1.5 billion a year on investments and on capital, on new rail cars, on track modernization, on maintenance. And so the $500 million would be about a third of that.
Right. Because, and even, but going forward into the operating budget, is there a plan to go forward and then maybe once you've made the repairs and those things that need to be done to the physical structure, to have some kind of dedicated funding for the operating part of the budget as well? Because then you can take some of those local and state subsidies and then move them over.
Well, that's a issue, I think, for another day. I mean, some people are saying, yes, we need dedicated funding for operations as well. But I think he's concluded, and a lot of other people who've looked at this have concluded, that that's too hard to get politically. I mean, it's going to be hard enough. It's going to be really hard just to get this extra dedicated funding for the investments, for the capital side. And I think to try to do it on the operating side as well is just too much to ask. I mean, what he's really trying to do is to hold down operating costs so that they don't need extra subsidies. I mean, that's what all these concessions from the unions are for.
Right.
And he's actually promising the jurisdictions and the public, in effect, that the annual increase in the operating costs would be no more than 3%.
Right.
No more than 3% growth a year. So he's actually trying to hold down the growth on the operating side, partly by holding down labor costs, while he's asking for a lot more money for the capital side.
And that sounds great, but if you compare it to Boston and New York, which have successful metro systems, they have, you know, New York has at least, they have 36% dedicated revenue, but they get 52% of their revenue from fares and tolls. So they're a little bit more self-sustaining when it comes to the fares and the tolls. But compared to those other two, which are successful, the DC Metro doesn't have that dedicated revenue. And I think it's a great idea to say, hey, we're going to try not to do that. But I just don't know how feasible that is.
Well, I think I think Metro actually has a pretty high fare box recovery rate.
45%.
It gets a pretty good recovery on its fare box. What the big problem is the lack of the dedicated funding, which is unique to Metro among major transit.
Well, and it looks like that they continue to be a struggle because Governor Hogan has made it very clear he ain't going to pony up the money.
No, he's not. But he's actually showing some flexibility considering how pro-roads he is. Hogan is saying, and he said this consistently, that there will be no statewide tax increase for Metro. But if Montgomery and Prince George's counties, which are the two counties in Maryland,
use the Metro,
if they want to raise taxes, then that's their business, Hogan says. And actually, that's a concession by Hogan.
So you see that as a positive development, yeah. Okay. Also, what about more federal funding?
Well, I think at this point, Wiedefeld, a lot of people want more federal funding. Wiedefeld, I think, is trying to be realistic, and he's basically saying all he wants is for the feds to continue to give Metro the money it's giving Metro now. Now, as you know, the feds give Metro $150 million a year, and then that's matched by the three jurisdictions. So that's a total capital investment of $300 million. That's a pretty big chunk of what they get. And that $150 million a year program only has two more years to go.
Wow.
So first of all, they've got to make sure that the new administration and the Congress fund it for the remaining 2 years. And then what he wants is it extended, you know, beyond those 2 years. He says that's very important. But it's been very clear that the Republican-controlled Congress, they want some concessions from Metro before they will extend that program. This is a very big deal. And it's not clear exactly what concessions they want. Congresswoman Barbara Comstock, the only Republican in the local congressional delegation, she's been right in the middle of that. She's trying to draft a bill that would basically set certain governance and labor reforms for Metro, which would become the basis for extending that federal funding into the future.
We got to leave it right there. Robert McCartney with the Washington Post. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets, with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.